So, Father, we are coming tonight to come to the cross once again and to do exactly what you've told us to do, that any time we come to the table for us to remember. And so as we prepare to celebrate the empty tomb, we want to come and dwell at the cross first. And so I pray tonight, Father, as we open your word, that you will teach us, that you will show us once again, that we will be reminded, and I pray maybe in a new, fresh way, a story that we've heard so many times, God, but maybe tonight we hear it differently, that we begin in deeper ways to understand the meaning of the cross and all that it gives to us. So we are thankful tonight, Father. We worship you in spirit and truth. I'm thankful for the people that are here in this building tonight. My prayer is that you would bless them and bless us with the truth of the cross. And may the truth of the cross cause us to have even a greater joy of celebration at the empty tomb. So thank you, Lord, for this church and what you're doing here among us. Teach us from your word. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for worshiping with us. I've said to you before, every year we like to go to the cross before we go to the empty tomb. And so tonight, as we just like the video, the sounds of the cross, and we hear once again the truth of the cross. And tonight, as I share with you this, you know, it's different certainly from my message that the other four services that we do this weekend, tomorrow, and then on Sunday. It's heavier because of the truth of the cross. And you know what? I think that's okay, because I think it's important for us to go to the cross before we go to the empty tomb, that Friday is the road to Sunday. And so as I share with you tonight, I want to take three passages. I mean, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, and most of these are going to be on the screen, not all of them, because some of them, there's just a lot. So, but if you want to follow along, we're going to go Genesis 22 is where we're going to start. Just a minute. John 19, which is the crucifixion, and then Luke 22. Genesis 22, John 19, Luke 22. And I'm going to connect all three of these. And I hope that tonight that you're able to, just as we reflect and we remember before we come to the table, that the Lord encourages you with the truth of the cross. Now, tonight, really what I want to focus on in the overall theme is this, that when we look at the cross, we know that the Lord will provide. Amen? That's what we know. We know when we look at the cross, we know that the Lord will provide. We know that the biggest problem we had in life, our separation from God, God made a way for us in Jesus. He provided. And so that truth encourages us certainly unto salvation, but also as we deal with just living life in a broken world and all the stuff that we have to deal with, right? So we're going to go to the cross and see again how he provides in Christ. And then I want to show you then how the Lord was faithful to provide in your life anything that you may face today. Genesis 22, John 19, Luke 22. And if I'll dwell a little bit. I'll go a little slower tonight probably, but you know, if it starts to take too long, that sounds like a lot. Don't worry. I'll speed it up. You know, I can't wait till we get to heaven one day, because there will be no time limits. Isn't that great? I mean, the Lord will say, Pastor, you want to share? And he'll say, take your time. And you'll be okay with it, because you'll have no place to go. Right? We're all just there worshiping. We sure aren't there yet, but someday we get there. I'm looking forward to that. So, let's go. Here we go. Genesis 22, and this is the story of Abraham offering up Isaac. So I tell you not every week, but fairly consistently, I try to swing back around and just to remind you that the Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It's a single narrative in which every story is pointing to one that is true and greater. He is Jesus. So as your pastor, wherever you're at in your walk, it's important for me that you understand and see the Bible that way, because when you see the Bible that way, you read it differently. Okay, so that truth is what we see right here in Genesis 22. What I'm going to read to you from Genesis 22 is a picture of the gospel in the Old Testament. Because that's exactly what's happening through the Old Testament, pointing to the cross, and then from the cross, everything pointing back post-resurrection to Jesus, right? So with that context, all right, Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to start in verse 9. Okay, so Abraham, God tells Abraham to offer his only son, to offer Isaac, all right, his son. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Okay, so again, you see verse 2, take your son, your only son. Now, let's jump ahead to verse 4. I know all of them aren't behind me, but verse 4, on the third day, you with me? On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. All right, so he's going to offer up. He's going to make the altar. And then in verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Now, verse 14. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The Lord will provide. I think, so in my Bible, and the way I see this thing, I circled the word will. It doesn't say the Lord did provide, did it? Does it? Doesn't say that. He did. But the Lord will provide. I think it's foreshadowing. It's pointing to the Messiah. That the Lord would, at that time, one day provide as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Now, think in that context, the picture of the gospel, and I've just written down a few things, and then we'll move from this. Abraham, a picture of God the Father. Isaac, a picture of Jesus, his son. Abraham made a choice in obedience to sacrifice his son. God made a choice in love to sacrifice his son. Abraham waited 3 days to sacrifice his son and learn what God would do. God waited 3 days after his son was sacrificed to show the world what he would do. The wood for the burnt offering was laid on Isaac for him to carry. The wood of the cross was laid on Jesus for him to carry. And God provided the lamb for the burnt offering. God provided the lamb to take away the sins of the world. The Lord will provide. He did. on the cross, and he still does. The sounds of the cross, that video we just watched. I'm going to go now to John chapter 19, and I won't read the whole thing, but I wanted that video to kind of capture as John speaks of it and writes of in verse or chapter 19. And I'm just going to start in verse 16. So they took Jesus and went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now go down to verse 33. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture. We're coming back to that in just a minute. Which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. I go to verse 28. After this, verse 28, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst, and a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. The crucifixion. Genesis 22, the Lord will provide. John chapter 19, the provision God provided for us. And then I go to Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to, in just a few minutes, we're going to come to the table. And as we do, we want to remember. So what was he talking about when he said that? I think he's talking about the cross. I think there can be a number of things to remember Jesus, but I think ultimately he's talking about the cross. And I think he says, do this in remembrance of me, because he knew that we have a tendency to forget. I just think in general we have a tendency to forget things, don't we? Okay, for example, don't really do it, but if I were to ask you, write down four presents you got at Christmas and who gave them to you this past Christmas. That was just 5 months ago. Think you could do that, maybe? Heck, what'd you have for lunch yesterday? I can't. Who won the Super Bowl? Don't shout. Yeah, I know. This is just an illustration. So, but I know for me, there are times in my walk, in my faith, where I am up against it, and I'm praying for the Lord to provide, and he comes through. Man, he provides exactly like he said he would. And I'm just thankful, And a couple weeks later, I'm up against it again, against something, and I start to get nervous and worry, and I wonder, oh, gosh, how's this going to work out? And I forget the provision he just gave me. So we do this as we come to the cross and we come to the table. Do this in remembrance. So it's a time for us to gather, for us to remember what God has done for us, the provision that he has given for us in Jesus and in this culture and in this time also. It's easy to forget. I don't think we purposefully do it. And here's what I would say to you, for us as believers and for us as a church, my friends, for us as families and your families, if we forget the crucifixion and the cross, at even the empty tomb, then we begin to live a powerless life. If a church, if we as a church, whatever, and I, if ever begin to forget this truth, the cross and the gospel, right? And the empty tomb and the gospel and the gospel. If we forget that and we focus more on something else, then we miss the whole focus of what the church needs to be centered on and focused on. And we try to do things just in our own strength and our own power. We program, we plan, and all those things are necessary, right? But at the center, when we talk about gospel centered, that's this, that we remember, we don't forget the cross. We celebrate the empty tomb, and we don't want to forget that either, but we don't want to forget what took place at the cross. So there's four things, and I'll go quickly, then we'll come to the table, okay? Bonus points for you being here tonight, by the way. And if you come another service the rest of the weekend, $50 to you, okay? Man, you guys, you're the godly of the godly. I knew you were. It's so good that you're here. So there's four things from the cross. There's a whole lot, but I'm just going to give you four that I hope can encourage you. We see how God provides for us, that the Lord will provide. Number one, we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God to sustain us. We're going to talk about the hope of God that encourages us. We see that from the cross. We see the faithfulness of God from the cross. We see hope from the cross, the grace of God that forgives us, and the love of God that saves us. Those four things. A lot more there, but we're just looking at those four things tonight. Takeaway number one. I like to give them as takeaways so you can take these things with you, that you're able to put them into your life and find the influence of the cross, right, and the gospel in your life. Takeaway number one, the Lord will provide. That's what we're saying, right? On the cross, we remember the faithfulness of God to sustain us. Now, John chapter 19, verse 16, what I just read. So he delivered him over to be crucified. Okay, we can stop right there. That's the faithfulness of God right there. He delivered him. He was allowed him to be delivered over, Jesus, right, for us. Because of our sin that separated us from God, God made a way for us. The Lord provided for us, and the Lord still provides. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is in Aramaic called Golgotha. So just that verse, I want you to see that. Just in that verse, we see the faithfulness of God. He allowed Jesus to be delivered over, going to the cross to provide for our sins, because we could not save ourselves. And he does the same thing. He provides for us today, in this day. Romans 8, chapter 31, verse 32. Listen to this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right now, I've preached that before. You could read that and you could go, well, would you like a list, front or back, of who's against me? Right? So what that means is people, doesn't mean people won't come against you. It means that people come against you, but because God is for us, they will not be successful in coming against you. Because God is for us. Listen to this, verse 32, okay? This is the faithfulness of God that brings it from the cross, solving, if you will, redeeming us to be saved through Christ, right? To now the practical, even more, of our everyday. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, okay? The Lord will provide. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So he's saying that whatever else you're facing, listen, well, it's nothing compared to the cross and the provision that God made for us in Jesus. It's not to say that those things aren't heavy on you today. It might have to do with a relationship. It might have to do with finances. It might have to do with health. It might have to do a number of different things. But look, when you look at the cross, I want you to remember that whatever you're facing, God says, the Lord will provide for you. The Lord will provide. And He's faithful to sustain us through anything this broken world throws at us. Number two, takeaway number two, the Lord will provide. On the cross, we see the hope of God that encourages us. So we see the faithfulness of God to sustain us. Now we see the hope of God that encourages us. Look in John chapter 19, if you're still there, verse 24. It says, so they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, see, I read that verse and I read that part. That gives me hope. The part where it says this was to fulfill the scriptures. Because what is that? That is prophecy being fulfilled. And that tells me a number of things. Two things it tells me. Number one, it tells me that God will always do what He promises to do. That's the first thing. That gives me hope. Right? The prophecy fulfilled. And the second, it tells me there's nothing that will happen in my life. There's nothing that will come your way or come my way that will ever catch God off guard. God will never say to you, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. That will never happen. One writer said, I wrote it down last week when I was reading, long before Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, the tree was already planted to meet his need. See, that's God, His provision. The Lord will provide. And the cross, not only does we see the faithfulness of God that sustains me, so we see the hope of God that encourages. John Piper says about hope, ordinarily when we express hope, we are expressing uncertainty. But this is not the distinctive biblical meaning of hope. Biblical hope is not just a desire for something good in the future, but rather biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen, and it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. The best sermon you preached to yourself this week may be only three words long, hope in God. And the cross gives us that hope. The cross gives us hope. Takeaway number three, the Lord will provide. On the cross, we remember the grace of God. Tonight, we remember the grace of God that forgives us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we look at the cross, and the cross tells us, hey, friends, it tells us that we are forgiven. It tells us that we can have a second chance and a new beginning and a fresh start. It tells us that God is a God of second chances. What we know God did not do is when man disobeyed Him and sin came into the world, God did not step back and say, you messed it up, you're on your own. I created this perfection, this paradise, you did this. But God didn't do that. Right here, He made a way. And the cross tells us that He made a way through Jesus. The Lord will provide. We are forgiven for our sins. God is saying to you today, do not go backwards. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Your future will be greater than your past. Your past was just preparation for your future. I am with you. Keep pressing forward. Things are better for you up ahead. Because the cross gives us hope. The cross, we see the grace of God, that he forgives us. And he gives us second chances, fresh starts, and new beginnings. It's the cross. That's the empty tomb. Last one, takeaway number four is this. And then we'll come to the table. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. On the cross, we remember the love of God that saves us. The love of God that saves us. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know this. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Lord will provide his provision. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when we look at the cross tonight, when we come to the table here in just a few minutes tonight, we remember the unconditional love of God, the love that he showed us in Jesus on the cross, the faithfulness of God. We remember to sustain us, the hope of God on the cross that encourages us, the grace of God that forgives us, and the love of God that saves us. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Let's just take a few minutes. The worship team's going to come up. And let's just take a few minutes and just kind of take a deep breath, relax, and just focus once again on these scriptures that have been shared tonight, on this truth that has been shared tonight, on the cross that has been shared tonight. And to remember once again, my friend, that no matter whatever you face, whatever is before you, you may be up against it, but the message of the cross is that the Lord will provide. So I want to encourage you to just take a few moments and just pray and prepare your heart just in a spirit of worship. And then we'll come to the table in just a moment. Father, we're thankful for your provision in Jesus. And as we come to the table tonight, we remember, just like you told us to do, we are remembering all that you've done for us at the cross in Jesus. So as we dwell there tonight, Father, I pray that through your word that has been shared and the power of Scripture, and that you would speak to us, God, just draw us once again, Father, to you. Remind us as we remember, God, the depth, the love, the sacrifice, all that's there at the cross. And in worship, Lord, in response, as we remember, we worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Our ushers are going to come. They're going to pass out the juice and the bread in this, if this is your first time with us, in this cup, underneath that is the bread. So you have one cup, it has the bread and the juice. We'll pass that out, then I'll come right back up in just a minute. Lead us through this time of taking the Lord's Supper. one of the things this says as we hold this cup with this juice, and which represents the blood of Jesus, and then the bread which represents his body. As we hold this tonight, we remember. We remember that because of Jesus, we are forgiven. Chapter 26 and verse 26. It says, "Now as they were eating, and Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And he said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" So, Father, we remember tonight the cross, the crucifixion, the sacrifice, the love. All that is there, the forgiveness of our sins. May we be grateful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 27, it says, "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out.'" There's the cross. "Poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So, Father, as we pause tonight and as we come to the cross before we go to the empty tomb, pray that the truth of these scriptures will settle deeper into our hearts. That through the power of your word, you will continue to transform us. That we will not forget. That we will faithfully remember the cross and the gospel message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The gospel is good news. Good news. But the good news is so good because the bad news is so bad. And the bad news is clear in the Bible. Clearly communicates to us. In Romans chapter 3, it says, "For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That every single one of us, we were born sinners, we were born separated from God. That's the bad news. But the good news is what we've been talking about tonight. Good Friday. Good Friday. The good news, the gospel. It's Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. Bad news. But the gift of God, the gospel, the good, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That God made a way when we could not make a way ourselves. And John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." The one who died on a cross for our sins, the one we remember tonight, who went to the cross as we've come to the table, we've remembered. Maybe tonight you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you've heard this message and you've heard the gospel. Maybe you've never taken that time to pray and to repent of your sin, to ask forgiveness, to confess with your mouths and believe in your heart Jesus died on the cross and rose again. You've never made that decision with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Based on what the Bible teaches. Now listen, those of you who are here that you've been saved, you're praying for those in this building tonight and all weekend long that are hearing this message and will pray this prayer and will have eternal life. So if you've never made that decision and surrendered your life to Christ with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer based on what the Bible teaches. Giving you that opportunity to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. For you tonight to surrender your life to Christ with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If that's you, if God is drawing you to Him right now, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just silently, you can repeat this prayer after me. God knows your heart. He hears you. Just silently where you are, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And tonight, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again, proving you were God. So tonight, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. Thank you for hearing my prayer tonight, Lord. Thank you for saving me. In your name, I pray these things.